So we are holding on Peihei Amud Beis, 9 lines from the bottom by the two dots. We said in the Mishnah, we mentioned in the Mishnah about the various basic categories of mitzvahs. We said you have the ones that require a chatas or an oshem vadai. We said you have the ones that we have misa or yom kippur together with tshuva or mechater. And then we talk about averis kalos versus averis chamuris, which we'll see in the Gemara what the definition of those is. So the Mishnah had said misa v'yom kippurim mechaperim imat tshuva, that those things are mechaper together with tshuva, implying imat tshuva ein, so only yom kippur or misa is mechaper on a person only if it's accompanied by tshuva, b'fnei atzman loy, but the implication seems to be that if a person dies without having done tshuva, or a person experiences yom kippur and hasn't done tshuva, then loy, then it sounds like he doesn't have a kapara. In which case, neima deloy k'rebi, would we have to say therefore that our Mishnah is not like Rebbe? Itani, your Rebbe Omer, our kol averus shabatora, bein osa tshuva, bein loy osa tshuva, yom kippur mechaper. Rebbe says that regardless whether the person did tshuva or not, then yom kippur is mechaper for almost all averus. Chutz mi porek oil, with a couple of exceptions. One of them is porek oil, which it's in parenthesis over here because she'iltus actually has a different view. So loya gal chaveroi, and he mocks and makes fun of somebody else. But porek oil means either that the person denies Hashem altogether, or that he throws off the yoke of mitzvahs. That he decides that mitzvahs don't apply to him. The Rambam has a bit of a different definition also, which we'll have later on. We'll see also later on in the Gemara, where you have a person who acts like whatever happens to the Jews is not really relevant to him. For example, there's trouble going on and Jewish people are fasting and davening and whatever, and he says, okay, big deal, you know, it doesn't affect me. So that's one. Number two, megalaponim b'Torah. Number two is a person who is chutzpah against the Torah. So Rashi gives an example, that it means that Rashi gives the example from the Sefer Sanhedrin of Menashe, King Menashe, that is, of Yehuda, where he would make fun, he would say, what does the Torah have nothing better to do than to write the genealogy of Timnah and the descendants of Esav and Seir and whatnot, not taking into consideration that's all part of the Torah, and there's reasons for everything, and there's deeper meanings for everything. So such a person treats the Torah as though the whole thing is one big joke. That's megalaponim. And the third, umefer bris baser. The third one is the person who violates the bris of the flesh, meaning mila. So either it can mean that he doesn't bother to have a mila, or some of the mafarshim explain that it means also what's called moshuch, that he goes and takes, he had a bris mila when he was younger, when he was 8 days old or whatever. Now he goes and wants to appear as not circumcised, and he goes and stretches out the skin. Anyway, so those things, Rebbe says, shim osa tshuva yom kippur mechaper, those things, if a person does tshuva, then yom kippur is mechaper, v'im lo yasa tshuva yom kippur mechaper, and if not, then not. So therefore, so it comes out that with most averus, Rebbe says that tshuva is not even necessary, you know, work a yom kippur all by itself, right? Yom Kippur all by itself will be mechaper for him. Our Mishnah that says that needs to be accompanied by tshuva seems to be disagreeing with Rebbe. The answer is a filu tamer Rebbe. You could even answer that our Mishnah goes according to Rebbe, because Rebbe would say tshuva boya yom kippurim like boya tshuva. Rebbe would take the view tshuva by itself is not going to be enough. You do need Yom Kippur. In other words, the expression is that misav yom kippur mechaper im hatshuva means that yom kippur is the main thing. Shuva is kind of the secondary thing. So you need shuva, but you also, according to Rebbe, you need yom kippur. Yom Kippurim, like Boya Tshuva, whereas according to Rebbe, even the person did not do Tshuva, nevertheless, then Yom Kippur by itself is Mechaper for him. Now, Tosfos Yeshanim talks about, the fact is we can't say, even according to Rebbe, that Yom Kippurim is Mechaper completely all by itself without Tshuva. Otherwise, for example, why was the Beis Mikdash destroyed? Every year you have Yom Kippur, so obviously that should mean that everything was Neskaper, and that's that. Satoshi Shishonim says that one possibility is it means when we say imat shuvah means that you have a person did shuvah some earlier time during the year, then that helps. But you still need it at some point. Or another possibility he says is that maybe we would say Yom Kippur by itself accomplishes kapara according to Rebbe, but not a complete kapara. There's still something of it left. There can still be, for example, it saves him from kares, but he still is going to get punished for it. Yep. So there is also the point, right? So okay. So when it comes to mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveri, then that's true. Yom Kippur can't be mechaper for them, as we said in the Mishnah, shirat es chaveri, unless he appeases the other person. Fine. Understood. But obviously, right. But nevertheless, the point still remains. I mean, for example, let's say, you know, nevertheless, though, I mean, we say that all three, avodah zarah, gilui arayis, and shpichus damim, all contributed. So if avodah zarah is ben adam l'chaveri, so at the very least, then that one should have been cleaned up. So the implication would be, so one possibility is, again, we say it means, in other words, that he'll be potter from kares, but nevertheless, it's still not completely cleaned up by Yom Kippur itself. And there's a number of other answers that various Rishonim and Achronim give. In various places that Rebbe talks about in Sichas, one of them is in Chelech Dalad, that the idea is that since on Yom Kippur the Yid connects back with Hashem at all levels of the Neshama, including even Yechida, is revealed on Yom Kippur. So therefore, that's what makes it possible for Averus to be forgiven, just because the person himself has reached that higher level and that closeness with Hashem, which goes beyond any Averus. Also, by the way, an interesting side thing in this, if we're saying, therefore, that according to Rebbe, Yom Kippur is the main thing, Shuvah is the secondary thing, it's interesting, Tosfos Yeshayahu says, in that case, the expression, Misav Yom Kippur Mechapim Ima Shuvah, seems a little bit odd. Usually when you say this, Im that, it usually means that the first mentioned one is the more important one. Here you seem to be saying the other way around, or the other way around, rather. Imak Shuva implies that Shuva is a secondary thing, whereas here we're saying that Yom Kippur is the more important thing. So for example, when we say Yopin Tam and Torah Im Derech Eretz, doesn't mean that Derech Eretz is the main thing and Torah is not, so obviously not. So Tosfos Yeshayahu gets into a bit of discussion about that. When we say this Im that, usually it means that the first mentioned thing is the more important one. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Tshuva Machaperes al Averes Kalas al Esev al Loiseseh. So we said Tshuva by itself is Machaper for lighter Averes, Esev and Loiseseh. So the question is, Hashta al Loiseseh Machaperes al Esev Meboya. If it's even Machaper for a Loiseseh, then how much more so is Machaper for an Esev? Why does the Mishnah need to bother mentioning it? Because now there is a certain advantage to an Esev. For example, we say Esther Doicha Loisese, but in terms of punishment, the Loisese is generally considered more severe. Many Loiseses involve Malchus, some of them involve even more than that, whereas Esther's, it's very rare that they involve any kind of punishment. So why do we need to mention both? If you hold a Hachi Kama, Al Esther Val Loisese, it doesn't just mean any Loisese, it means Al Esther Val Loisese Shinitek La Esther. It means that Yom Kippur is mechaper for esses as well as not just for any lois esse, but for Truva was saying. Truva by itself is mechaper for esses and for a lois esse shenitak la'esse, which is the kind of lois esse where the Torah tells you don't do this, but if you did that, then do this to make up for it. There are examples all over the place. Don't steal, but if you did, behei shivas akzela. Don't take the mother bird from their nest when the babies are there, but if you do, shaleach tashalach ase'ein, and so forth. So for those, then tshuva by itself is machaper. Now, then you still have the question, in that case, still, why do you need to mention Esther separately? You just mentioned Moisés. So one idea is that the Tosfos Yom Kippurim says, that's the point. The Mishnah wants us to realize that a Moisés of that kind is similar in degree to an Esther. They also talk about, so what happens, for example, the Gemara talks about in Makkos, with such loisesses, sometimes you can have a case where the person did the loisesses and then something happens, or he does something to make it impossible to do the esse. For example, let's say with Shiloh HaKan, imagine, for example, you know, he took the mother bird, now before he accomplishes the mitzvah of sending it away, let's say he goes, he kills it, or somebody else kills it, or whatever. In fact, in such cases, according to some opinions, and the Rambam passes this way, he can be Chayiv Malchus. But we're saying over here that that at any rate, if it was b'shergig, then shuvah by itself can be mechaper for it. Okay. So the question is, about loises et gomer loy? So you're telling me for full-fledged loises et shuvah by itself is not enough? Or the minu, I have a contradiction. A braisa says, Elohen kalas, the following are considered the lighter mitzvahs, the easier mitzvahs, so to speak. Esev loises et chutz mi loisisa, except for the mitzvah of loisisa, not to take Hashem's name in vain. So that means, on the face of it, so most loises says, then shuvah by itself will, are considered the kalos, and we're saying in our Mishnah that the kalos shuvah by itself is machapavor, but here in the Braise, and only loisisa is an exception. So what are you telling me that most loisisa says, or not most, many loisisa says are not included? The answer is what it means is loisisa b'chol the dummy lay. It doesn't mean loisisa by itself. It means loisisa as well as any other one, which is like it in the sense of being a full-fledged lab for which there is punishment. So in other words, we would say that, so you have, so far, three categories. You have esses, those are cleaned up by truva itself. You have a loises that's nitek la'esse is also cleaned up by truva itself. And then you have loises that are not nitek la'esse. So for example, loisisa, there's no nitek la'esse afterwards. The person used Hashem's name in vain, said a bracha they don't need to, made a false shvur, what have you. There's no way of undoing the effect of that. So those kinds of things, we're saying that truva is not enough for that. Okay. Tashma, let's bring another proof. Braisa says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol shehu mi loisisa ulamata, anything from loisisa downward, in other words, anything less severe than loisisa, shuvah machaperes, the shuvah by itself is machaper for him, mi loisisa ulamaila, but if it's loisisa or anything higher, shuvah toilev, yamak por machaper, then shuvah suspends his punishment, and then Yom Kippur comes and cleans it up completely. So again, the fact that we're saying loisisa ulamata, loisisa ulamaila, it sounds like we're talking about categories of averis. So it sounds like there's a whole category of it does sound like there's a whole category, but on the other hand, the fact that we're using loisisa as a cutoff point seems to show, in other words, that most lavim will be cleaned up by shuvah. Only when it comes to what would be more severe than loisisa would be things that are chayiv kodes, things that are chayiv nisus based in. But not regular lavim. And again, the answer is no. It means loisisa v'chol the dummy. Like again, it means loisisa as well as everything in that category. So anything less than that, meaning a lava nitik la'esa, where there's no statutory punishment for it at all, versus loisisa and anything higher than that, namely the lavim that involves some kind of punishment, even if that punishment is only malchus. In general, the concept is, in other words, a lava nitek la'esta, there's no malchus for it. There's a couple of other categories of lavim where there's no punishment for them for one or another reason, and then you have a whole bunch of them that I'm lists altogether, between all the lavim, 207 that involve missus based in or malchus. And then you have a few others, and then you have some of those also involve kares. So 207 out of 365 then would be the ones that are higher than would be the ones equal to or higher than loisisa, where shuvah by itself is not going to be enough. Tashma, let's try to bring another proof. A braisa says lefisha nema b'chodev shuvah. Now, by Chodev, by Har Sinai, after the Chet HaEgel, Moshe goes up to daven for Hashem, and Hashem tells him the concept of tshuva, and Hashem tells him among the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim is Vinake, that Hashem cleans up. Yochol Af Loisisa Imahan, you would think that means, in other words, that any Aveira can be cleaned up by tshuva, including even Loisisa. No, Talmud Lema, Lo Yinake. Therefore, instead, by loisisa itself, the pasuk says lo yinaka Hashem, meaning in other words that it's not going to be cleaned up by itself. Now, still the implication from everything we're saying so far is that even that shuvah and yom kippurim would be enough. And Marsha points out that actually there's a gemara elsewhere in Shavuos where Rashi implies that you need more than that. That you need not that a person for loisisa would need not only shuvah, not only yom kippur, but also something more than that, also yisurim or something. Or Gemara apparently is arguing with that. Continues the Braise. Yochol af shar chai v'lavin kain. You would think the same is true of other people who were over on a lab, that them also shuvah is not completely cleaning it up. No, Talmud Lema, es shmoi. Therefore, the pasuk says that the person when the person used his name in vain, implying Shmo Yehuda Einam Menachta, only because he used Hashem's name in vain does that prevent him from having complete cleaning up. Ava Menachta Shat Chai VeLavin, but he does clean up other Chai VeLavin. So now we can't say that it means Loi Sisa and all the other ones similar to it, because no, we can't. The Braisa is saying clearly that only in this one case, because it involves Es Shmoi, it involves misusing the name of Hashem, implying that all other lavim are cleaned up by Tshuva. So what are you telling me that? So what are you telling me that the on Mishnah when it says Ala Kalos means some kinds of lavim, but not all of them. It sounds like from this braisa, almost all of them are included, except Lo Sisa. So the answer is Tanoi. The answer is it's actually Machlokas Tanoi. The Tanya, Al Ma Tshuva Machaperes, Al Ese, Val Lo Sese, Shnitek Lese. Another braisa says, what is Tshuva Machaper for? For an Ese, for a Lo Sese that's combined, that's connected together with an Ese. What is tshuva? Only suspend the punishment, and then Yom Kippur is machaper completely. That would be al krisus val misas based in for things that a person did that would make him chayev kodes or misas based in a time when there is no misas based in, because otherwise the based in shomata can't know what he's thinking. They have to execute him regardless, even though he did tshuva, because they can't know what he's really thinking. He might just be faking it. But Hashem knows the truth, therefore Hashem can forgive him, even for such things. And also in that category are full-fledged lavim, the kind that would be, the kind that are not nitek la'esa, the kind that would be chayiv malchus. So all of those, according to this last braisa, are included in the more serious ones, the ones where you need tshuva and yom kippur, and that fits with our Mishnah. Okay, so the previous braisa that said that lois sisa is the exception, that's a different tana hold that way. So we can see, in other words, that there's two. So everybody agrees, in other words, that esses are cleaned up by tshuva alone. Everybody agrees that lava nitikla esse is also cleaned up by tshuva alone. Everybody agrees that krisus or missus based in, you need tshuva and yom kippur. The machlokas is going to be about other lavim that are not krisus or missus based in, but are not lava nitikla esse either. Is tshuva enough, or do you need tshuva and yom kippur? Yeah. So that's what I was saying before, is that you have those 365 lavim. Of them, the Rambam lists, there's a couple of dozen of them that involve Mrs. Bastian. There's a couple of dozen more that involve Mrs. Bidei Shemayim. There's also some that involve Kores, but almost all the ones that many of the ones that are Chayav Kores, over there on the shelf, if I'm, many of the ones that are high of Kares are also high of Mrs. Bastian, so we can't double count them. And then you have 168 that are high of Malkus, so that brings us up, to the total number of 207. But out of the 365, that still leaves 150 odd mitzvahs that don't involve any kind of punishment. So some of them are because they're lava nitik la'eses. Some of them are for other reasons. For example, because they're lav shein be maisa, or for various other reasons. Amamar. So now let's get back to the Brai. So this is the Fisha Nema Bechor of Benake. The Pasuk says by House Sinai, Hashem told Moshe, one of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim is Benake, that Hashem will clean up a person's averus. Manolon. So where do we see that the word v'nake means that? After all, in context of the pasuk, it sounds like it's saying that the actual pasuk goes v'nake lo yinake. So maybe it means, just like you have many times in the Torah, you have a double expression like that, like ochol tochol, or daber yadaber, or whatever, and it just means it's a posoyach tiftach, etc., and it's an infinitive, and it means as many times as necessary, or whatever. So maybe v'nake lo yinake together means that Hashem will not completely clean up Averis. Where do we see that Venake by itself means that Hashem will clean it up? So Ditanya, we learned in a Braiser, or Bolozo Oimer, E. Efshaloim Nake. You can't say that Hashem is just going to clean up Averis unrestrictedly. Shekman Nema Lo Yanake, because after all, that same passage continues, Lo Yanake. The E. Efshaloim Lo Yanake, Shekman Nema Nake. It can't be that Hashem won't clean up the Averis, because it says Nake. Hoketzad, so what does it mean? So why Menake, lo Yanake, means Menake hula shoven, the ain't a Menake of Sha'inish shoven. It means Hashem will clean up the Averis for a person who does Tshuva, but will not clean them up for a person who does not do Tshuva. So therefore, so Menake is one of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, And lo yinaka, at least according to the straightforward meaning, is not one of the yud gimel midas harachamim. It's saying you should know it's not an automatic get out of jail free card. It depends whether the person does tshuva or not. There is a very interesting vote in connection with this that Bnei Yisoscha brings, based on a vote of the Mizutra Magid that says the Magid says when we have the yud gimel midas shatoin addresses them, we have the yud gimel midas harachamim, and there's a connection between them. They correspond one to another. The Kal V'Chomer corresponds to the first of the Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim, which according to that way of counting begins from the word Kale. There's a few different ways of counting Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim, by the way. We're used to thinking that the first three are Hashem, Hashem, Kale. But for example, in Tashlich, when the Alter Rebbe brings in the little letters over there above the words, the Yud Gimel Midas corresponds to the words of the Psukim, he starts over there with Kale. In Masechta Rosh Hashanah, in a few months, Bez Hashem, we'll talk about some details of that when we get to that. Anyway. So therefore, the 13th midya, b'chein shniksuv mamachishim zezeh, corresponds to the 13th midya of Anake. And we see that the Gemara is finding us the midya of Anake through shniksuv mamachishim zezeh. You have two things, Anake and lo yanake, that seem to contradict, and we have a way of reconciling it. So it corresponds in that way. Okay. Next, the Gemara says, shor rab masi ben chorosh eser b'loz ben azayu b'ruim. Rav Masi ben Chorosh, who was the Rosh Hashiva and the Rav in Rome, so he asked Rav Elazar ben Azariah one time when he was visiting Neva Pashtus, Shemaita Abba Chaluka Kapara Shari B'Shmal Derdash, have you heard of the four distinctions among Kapara that Rabbi Shmuel used to darshan, four different types of things that each require their own kind of Kapara? And if so, can you explain them? Omer, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah answers, actually, Shloshahim. There's really only three, Utshuvahim, Kalachad Vachad. Each one has to be accompanied by Tshuva. Now, we are, in fact, going to list four. So one way of understanding it is we're not going to count the ones where Tshuva by itself is enough. For example, the S's that we just talked about, because since Tshuva is required for each of the other ones, you can't really say it's a Chiluk Kapara from the other ones. All of them require tshuva, and there are some of them that don't require anything more than that, but that can't really be considered one of the categories. A different way of understanding it, the Kesef Mishnah understands the Rambam to be saying that the last category that we're going to list, namely Chilul Hashem, is not considered one of the three, because, as we're going to say in the Gemara, that requires everything. It requires tshuva and Yom Kippurim and Yisurim, and it's not an escape until the person dies, so therefore in that sense it's not really a separate category, it's like all-inclusive of all the other ones. That's Chilul Hashem. We're going to get to soon. Yeah. So the first one is over al esev shav. If a person was over on a mitzvah esev and then he did tshuva, ene zoz mishamat shemalchanai. He doesn't move from there until Hashem forgives him right there on the spot. Shenemar shuvu bonim shayvavim. As the pasuk says, return, you rebellious or you wayward children. In other words, the implication is that tshuva is enough. Now and Rashi brings that the pasuk continues, erpo meshuvay seichem. I will heal your rebelliousness. So we see, in other words, there's a kind of avera for which tshuva all by itself will bring about healing. Now, it's true the pasuk doesn't specify what kind of avera that is, but logic would dictate that it would be the least serious kind of avera. Therefore, we're going to apply that to essence. Next, over a loisaseh ba'asa tshuva. What if a person was over on a loisaseh and then he did tshuva? Then tshuva toila v'yem kapur mechaper. I mean, it's both, really. I mean, when a person is overall, yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, divrei. Right. I mean, there is the expression the Gemara says in Brachos ha overall divrei chacham chayiv misa. So in that sense, in that sense, violating a derabanan is even more serious in a way than violating a deraisa. But the pashtus, when we talk about the categories over here, I guess it just fits in its respective category. Yeah. So if a person was over on a loisa said, the also tshuva toilav yem kippurim mechaper. Now here we're not making the distinction between different kinds of loisa says as we did before, between loisa says and nitek la'aseh and not nitek and whether there's punishment or whether there's not. So according to this opinion, all lavim are in the same category, unless they involve krisis and mrs. Bastin, which is the next one. The pasuk says, on this day Hashem will be mechaper. So we see that there's a kind of avera that requires Yom Kippur. Again, we had Rebbe and the Chachamim arguing before whether it also requires Tshuva. So again, logic would dictate that that's the next more serious kind, namely a loisaseh. At the beginning of Yigeres HaTshuva, the Alter Rebbe explains that in a way, an essay is more, in a way, what it is like this. When it comes to the fact that the person disobeyed Hashem, a lois essay is more serious. Because a lois essay involves that he actually did something against what Hashem wants. As opposed to an essay, it means he failed to do what Hashem wants. He didn't do such and such. It was a sheval tasta. He failed to do something. In terms of the that's brought down milamila, missing out on an essay is more serious because it means that that can never be brought down. But in terms of rebelliousness against Hashem, which is what we're dealing with over here, then the lois essay is worse.
But you can never put on your tefillin on it.
If you miss tefillin one day, for example, then you can never make that up yet. Next, overall, Christus and Mrs. Based in the also Trova. If a person was over on something that is high of Kodesh or Mrs. Based in and then did Trova, now you need more than that. Trova, we have to put him Turlin, the Yisurin Mimarkin. Now Trova and Yom Kippur together suspend his punishment, but there still needs to be Yisurin in order to clean him up. Shenema, the Pasuk says, "Fakhadti b'shevet pisham." Hashem says, "I will visit. I will punish with a stick their rebellious averus, or negoyim avoinam, and I'll punish their deliberate averus with negoyim with plagues." So we see that there's a certain kind of avera that requires yisurim. So then the Alter Rebbe goes on to talk about over there in Tanya that what kind of yisurim are we talking about? Primarily, we're talking about yisurim that come milamayla rather than yisurim that the person accepts on himself. But on the other hand, there can be in Perek Beis, he talks about over there, sometimes you can have a person takes fasts on himself in order to not so much to clean up the Aveda, but in order to be like a korban and become more accepted by Hashem than he was before. But as I said, the yisurim we're talking about over here are primarily yisurim that come milamayla. But if a person did something that involves chilul Hashem, so Rashi says that means choti u'machti acherim. He did an avera and caused other people thereby to do an avera as well. And in general, I mean, the popular notion that we have of chilul Hashem is not so far away from that, because it means, where, as the Gemara is going to give examples soon, a person acts in a way that makes other people think, well, why should I bother being a frum yid? Why should I bother learning Torah? It doesn't make the guy any of a better person. So that causes other people to say, in that case, then I may as well continue acting the way I am. I'm not going to be any better if I learn Torah and do mitzvahs. So that's a chilul Hashem. So if a person has that, ein loy koyach b'tshuva litlis, tshuva does not have the power even to suspend his punishment. V'loy b'yem kippurim l'chaper, even plus yem kippur is not yet l'chaper for him. V'loy b'yisurin l'marek, even all those together with yisurim does not completely clean it up. Ela kulam tolen umisim marekis. All of them suspend the punishment, all three together, but only when the person dies does that completely clean up the Aveda.
Is that like a Talmud Chacham that goes out with the spin on
the... So that would be an example. Well, so that would be an example of that. I mean, the Gemara is not going to give that. Well, the point is, in other words, a person has to consider, especially a Talmud Chacham, has to consider the effect of any little thing he does and the effect that it has on people around him. Yeah.
Remember in Shabbos, there was the whole discussion whether you can clean a jacket.
Yeah.
Used to wear the dirty jacket.
Right. So we said over there there's a difference whether the stain is on one side or on both sides. Yeah. Okay. Onward. Shenema v'nigla v'oznoi. The Navi says it was revealed in my ears. Hashem tzvakos. That Hashem said, im yechupar oven azalachem ad tmusim. If this sin will be cleaned up for you until you die. So we understand, therefore, that there's a kind of kapara, there's a kind of aveda that requires the person's death in order to be mechaper for. And Maharsha explains, the previous psukim are describing an example of chilul Hashem. The pasuk is saying that the Navi is saying, you have people who are thinking to themselves, let's eat and drink and everything, tomorrow we're going to die anyway. In other words, we don't have to listen to what the Navi says. So the Navi says, so that's an example of chilul Hashem, that he's causing other people to say, why should we bother listening to what the Navi says and what Hashem is saying, and what Hashem is telling us, we may as well just eat and drink and enjoy ourselves. So that's an example of chilul Hashem, and the Navi is telling them, as a matter of fact, that's only going to be cleaned up completely when you die. There is something that's brought in some Sephardim, though, that one way a person can counteract that is, on the contrary, to go and make a Kiddush Hashem. When a person has done a Chilul Hashem, there is a way for them to save the situation by going and making a counteracting Kiddush Hashem to make up for that. Okay. So the Gemara says, Hechi Domi Chilul Hashem. What would be an example of Chilul Hashem? So it, now obviously there can be more serious things that a person does that involve Chilul Hashem, but we're going to give examples of things that seem to not be so serious, and nevertheless they constitute a Chilul Hashem because they make people think that Tamei Chachamim are not being honest or menschlich or what have you. Omer Rav, going on no. So Rav gives an example. For example, in my situation, me being an important, distinguished Rav and Rosh Hashiva, if I get meat from the butcher, and I don't pay right there on the spot. So now when I'm paying only later, the butcher himself is going to think that I'm a gazlan, Rashi says. And therefore he's going to learn to be careless with gezel. If even Rav doesn't have to be so careful with gezel, how much more so me, a simple yid, that I don't have to worry so much about that. So that would be an example of a chilul Hashem. A different interesting explanation is specifically when it comes to meat, because if he doesn't take payment, people are going to see that he's taking it and not paying. They're going to think, you know what's going on over here? They have a little collusion going on. The rub is being machsher him shilas, but borderline shilas, or even ones that would be outright straight, and in return, the butcher is giving him meat for free. And that would make a chilul Hashem. Abaya says, lo shono ela ba'asra d'lo tabi. That applies only in an area where they don't, where the storekeeper doesn't usually go and demand payment from the other guy. The other guy is in such places, the usual way is the other guy is responsible to pay on the spot or to go to his house and pay him. Abba ba'asra the tavi, but in a place where they do go, where the storekeeper goes to the person's house and says, can you pay up your bill? Then less than ba, then there's no problem with it, because then everybody can see that afterwards the butcher is going. It's a normal thing in such places. Everybody knows that you buy on credit, and afterwards the butcher goes and asks you for payment. Nobody's going to think that there's any gezel, that there's any gezel or anything underhanded going on over there. There is a different girsa, actually, the other way around, and it's possible that Rambam had this girsa the other way around. In a place where they're not teveya, then there's not a chilul Hashem involved, because, okay, then everybody sees he went and bought meat on credit, and then, no, tomorrow or the next day he's going to go pay as soon as he has the money. As opposed to if it's a place where the guy has to go to the house and demand the payment, then people are going to wonder, why is he having to demand the payment? What, Rav doesn't know to pay on his own? Yeah. So the chilul Hashem would come in a place. So according to that, the other way around, in a place where they are teveya, it would be a problem, right?
And they wouldn't notice the chilul Hashem until the butcher comes to Rav's house.
Apparently, yeah.
Right.
Amar Ravina, Masa Machasya, Asur the Tabihu. Ravina says you should know. For example, Masa Machasya, which is a place where Ravina and Ravashi had their yeshiva, is an example of a place where they are teveya. So therefore, according to the first explanation, according to Rashi, it would come out, therefore, that in such a place there's no problem with Ravina or any of the other Chachamim to buy meat on credit. And according to the Rambam, just the opposite. That would be a place where there would be a problem with it. Abaya, so the Gemara gives an example what Abaya would do in this connection. Abaya could shoko bistra mitzvei shutvi. If Abaya would buy meat from two partners, and let's say he and both partners weren't in the store at the same time, Yohiv Zuzalahai, he would pay each one a Zuz, because each one doesn't know whether the other one was paid up yet, so he didn't want to make a Chilul Hashem. Bahadim, Makarav Lehu Gabi Adadi, later on he would get the two partners together, V'Avad Choshbana, and square accounts with them, and they'd give him more meat or refund him his extra Zuz, as the case may be. Okay, so all of that is one example of Chilul Hashem. Rabbi Yochanan gives a second example. For example, if I were to walk 4 amos without learning Torah, without wearing tefillin, people, now it might be because in fact I have a valid reason. I might be weak from learning, and therefore I'm not able to learn right now. And as far as tefillin also is, he might not be up to it bodily. But people see that, and people are going to learn from him to be careless with, learning. The Rambam actually mentions in one place, he says that an example that Rav, where he mentions in Hilchos Tefillin, that Rav would never walk anywhere 4 amos without Torah, without Tefillin. So apparently the Rambam had the names over here in the Gemara switched around. Rabbi Yochanan would be the one who was talking about buying meat from the butcher, and Rav would be talking about the one of wearing Tefillin and learning Torah. Yitzchak Dvei Rabbi Yanai Amar, Yitzchak from the Yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai said a third one. The definition of Chilul Hashem is when his fellow Chachamim are embarrassed because of the rumors that are being spread around about him. So with the fact that there were such rumors that wherever there's smoke, there's fire. So it means, in other words, that he is apparently acting in a way that that's bringing Talmid Chachamim and bringing the Torah into disrepute so much that they're embarrassed about him. That would be an example of a Chilul Hashem. Amr of Nachman Yitzchak, Render Ka'amri Inshi, like for an example of that would be the kind of person of whom people say about him, Shorele Morei Leplanya, may his master Hashem forgive that person for what he's doing. So when it gets to the point where people are saying that about a person, that would be the example of a Chilul Hashem. Abaya Amr, Abaya says he was a fourth definition, to the Tanya. We actually learn a Braisa about this. The Pasuk says, V'ahavta es Hashem alekecha, you should love Hashem. That means, Shiyehei Shem Shemayim Mis'ahei Val Yodcha. It means not just that you should love Hashem, you should make it S, that other people also should come to love Hashem. Meaning, Shiyehei Kole Rishono Meshamash Tamar Chachamim, so a person learns Tanakh, and learns Mishnayos, and serves Tamar Chachamim, which included in that is learning the principles of Gemara from them, and also learning, and also serving them, and that way learning from their good midas. So now, when a person does that, the Yehem Asori Matoni Benachas Mabrias, if also now this person goes and does business and does dealings with the general public, Benachas, gently and in a menschlich way, Mahabrias Omeris Olav, what do people say about such a person? Ashrei Oviv Shalimde Torah, happy is his father who taught him Torah. Ashrei Rabbi Shalimde Torah, happy is his Rebbe who taught him Torah. In fact, Olehem Labrias Shalolom the Torah, woe to people who do not learn Torah, they don't learn to have such fine midas as this guy. Pliny Shalomad Torah, this person who learned Torah, Ru'ukam Anoim Zirochav, see how beautiful are his ways, Kama Mesukonim Maisav, how well ordered and how well ordered are the things that he does, meaning, and the double expression means Ben Adam Lamachim and Ben Adam Lachaveroi. So people are impressed by such a person, and they learn, you know what, it's a good thing to learn Torah, because then you become a mensch like this person. All of our cause of Omers on such a person, he did a Kiddush Hashem, and the Pasuk says on him, Vayomer li Avdi ata Yisrael Asher b'cho espar. He said to me, Hashem, you are my servant, Yisrael, in whom I take pride. Aval, but the flip side, Misha Kodavish Osh Roshoner, or Mashamash Tamar Chacham, a person who went through all the different levels of learning Torah, the Ein Masoi Matoni Vamona, but he doesn't deal honestly with people, the Ein Biburi B'nachas Mabrias, he doesn't speak gently to other people. Ma'abrius omnis olive. So what do they say about him? On the contrary, Oilo the plenty shalom Torah. Woe to that person who learned Torah. Look what an ois mensch it made him. Oilo the aviv shalom the Torah. Woe to his father who taught him Torah like that. Oilo the rabbi shalom the Torah. Plenty shalom Torah. This person who learned Torah. Ru kama mikol kolin maisev. See how messed up are his ways. But kama mikol orin drachav and how ugly are his ways. So he made us, that would be an example of making a chilul Hashem. But all of our kosev omer ben merlehem amashem ela umay arutzi yatzo. On such people is what the pasuk says that the goyim will say about the Jewish people. These are Hashem's nation, but they went out of his land. And the context Rashi says that the context of that psukim is that a person, an important person, does averus, then he gets punished from Hashemayim, and everybody says, you know, look, what good did all his Torah and all his mitzvahs do him? You see that even people like that are still harmed, and that causes a chilul Hashem. That, as the example, on a national level, you have the Jewish people going into Golis created a tremendous Chilul Hashem. And that's why the Navi stresses over there, that's the essential, that's the reason for the Geula ultimately is to undo that tremendous Chilul Hashem and bring about a Kiddush Hashem instead. So now the Gemara is going to go into some Agadta about the greatness of Tshuva. Amar Abchama Brav Chanina, Gedoyla Tshuva, Shemaviyah Rifus La'olam. Tshuva is a tremendous thing. It brings healing to the world. Shenema erpa mishuvasim. The pasuk says, "I will heal their mishuvasim, their backsliding, their stubbornness." Oyavim nedava. I will love them as a voluntary thing, as if they volunteered and brought korbanos, as the Gemara is going to say later. So we see as soon as they do tshuva erpa, then Hashem says, "I will heal." Rav Chama Rav Chanina Rami. Rav Chama Rav Chanina also pointed out there seems to be a contradiction between Pesukim. Ksiv Shuvu Vonim Shevavim. One pasuk says the Navi says to the Jewish people, "Return, you Shevavim children." Now Shevavim means sort of like mischievous. Rashi says it's like Narus. You're acting childish, and therefore you did Aveiros. So implying to me, Ikra Shevavim Atem. That implies that. When you do tshuva, then it's going to be considered as though the original Aveda was just done out of childishness, out of that kind of thing, rather than deliberately. So it sounds like the Aveira still exists, just that the Hashem reduces the severity of it. It's considered not like he did it deliberately and rebelliously, but just like the, like, as if like he didn't know better. The same pasuk continues, I will heal your backsliding, which implies like healed, like a balmum who was healed. So the answer is like Kasha kan me ava kan me yira. It depends whether whether he does tshuva from ava or from yira. So if he does tshuva me ava, then the chet is completely uprooted. So then Hashem considers it as though to begin with it wasn't such a serious affair. As opposed to Meira, then there's still like a Balmum who was healed, where therefore he still has a scar, so the same way there's still a little bit of an after effect of it. Okay. Another one, the Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda Rami. Rabbi Yehuda pointed out a contradiction again between Psukim. So we have that one pasuk that Hashem says, "Return and I will heal you." Then you have another pasuk, "Hine" or "Ki." Actually, it says in the pasuk, "Anochi ba'alti b'chem." Hashem says, "I have dominated you." Like ba'al means literally like a master. I will take one out of every city and two out of every family and restore you. So implying that Hashem like has to rule over the Jewish people out with force. So what is it? Is it that Hashem is saying I will heal, or is it that Hashem is saying I'm gonna force you into it? So the answer is like Kasha, kan me ava oy mi yira. One is where a person is doing tshuva from ava or yira, which, as we said before, the pasuk tshuva bonim shayvavim erpam shuvah seichem refers to those two things respectively. Or kanai de yisurim, versus then you have a person who didn't do tshuva until yisurim came on him. He's the kind, therefore he's considered like an eved, and Hashem says on him, ki anochi ba'alti b'chem, I have to treat you like a master, and you're my eved because you didn't know to do tshuva until yisurim came. Rashi brings a different girsa, that you have one pasuk saying shuvu elev, you return to me, then I'll return to you. In other words, it has to be isarusa de losata, you have to make the first move, as opposed to ki anochi ba'alti b'chem, implying that already before you do tshuva, that Hashem is taking the initiative. So then again, the answer would be that it depends whether me'ava or me'ira. In other words, that Hashem is saying sometimes there will be before tshuva even happens, that Hashem takes the initiative and shows who's boss, and therefore the person that impels the person to do tshuva versus the other way around, where the person is impelled to do tshuva first. Marsha connects this with a Gemara in Sanhedrin, where you have a machloikas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. How is the Geula HaMitzvah Hashleima going to come? We have to do tshuva. So Rabbi Eliezer says over there that if the Jewish people do tshuva, then they'll be redeemed. If not, then chas v'shalom not. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no matter what, the Jewish people are going to do tshuva. If necessary, Hashem will bring Melech Kosher Kahaman, a harsh enemy like Haman, and the Jewish people will be forced to do tshuva one way or the other. So Marsha connects that with this Gemara over here, therefore. So you can have where the people do tshuva on their own, and you can have where Hashem has to force the issue by putting us under the domination of somebody like Haman, and therefore that forces the Jewish people to do tshuva. Tshuva is so great that it reaches the kisei hakavod of Hashem. The pasuk says Yisrael returned to Hashem, implying all the way up. Ad meaning all the way up to Hashem, meaning all the way up to the kisei hakavod. Amar Rav Yechanan, also Rav Yechanan says, G'dola tshuva shedoicha es loisa se shabat Torah. Tshuva is so powerful that it overrides a loisa se in the Torah. You have like this. The pasuk describes Yirmiyahu is describing how the Jewish people should do tshuva. He says, "Lamer, they say, Hein yishalach ishes ishto." Suppose a man divorces his wife, v'hocha me'ite v'hoisa le'ishacher. If then she leaves him and goes and marries another man, hayoshave leha oid, is her first husband ever allowed to return to her? We know that not. The pasuk tells us in parash in Kiseitze that you're not allowed to. Haloichonech technafa oretzahi. The land would be full of averus if you do that. Veloisachti es oretz, as the pasuk says. Va'at zonis reim rabim, yet you have been mizana with many friends representing the different avodah zarah that you worship, and yet v'shoiv elainum Hashem. Yet Hashem says you'll be able to return to me. So we see, in other words, that tshuva, so to speak, overrides that lav. We're like this. Based on that lav, you would think the Jewish people are never able to return to Hashem. But we're saying, nevertheless, you're able to. Now, it doesn't mean, now there are various psukim that make it clear that when Hashem sent us into Golos, he didn't divorce us, chas v'shalom. It's more like a temporary separation. But the point is, in other words, the pasuk is telling us two things. You have the case where the woman remarries, where the woman gets divorced and remarried. Then you also have the case where she's mezana the rotzen while married to her husband. And the din is, k'shem sh'asur l'baal k'asur l'boil. She becomes osur to her husband and also to the guy that she's having relations with. But now we're saying that loisa seh of that loisa seh of loisa tamei asaretz is being overridden in the case of Truba, that even though a yid was mezana and he's still considered married to Hashem, or even if the Jewish people collectively do that, nevertheless Hashem takes us back. Okay. Amar Rav Yonasan, G'dayla Truba Shem Kareves Sagola. Truba is a tremendous thing. It brings the Geula closer. Or different gears over here, Shem Avia Sagola, it brings the Geula. Shenema, Uvola Tzion Goyal, a redeemer will come to see to Tzion, Uloshave Fesh Abi Yaakov, and to those who turn back from rebellious Averis among Yaakov. So in the simple meaning of the pasuk, we would understand that it means that Mashiach is going to come also for those who rebelled. But the explanation is it's actually a cause and effect. Ma tam uvola Tzion Goyal, what will bring about the Goyal, Mishum, the Shavet Hesh of Yaakov, because there are people among Yaakov who do tshuva from their tribe. Amar Shlakish Gdola Tshuva Shes Donis Nasis like a Shgogas. Tshuva is a tremendous thing. Deliberate Avedis become instead downgraded to accidental Avedis. Shenema Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Alekecha. Return Yisrael to Hashem your God. Ki Choshalta Bavinecha. Because you stumbled in your Ovein. Now, Ovein Mezidu. The word Ovein refers to Avedis that are done deliberately. And yet we're calling it only a stumbling, like you only stumbled on them accidentally. So therefore implying it's downgraded to a shogeg. So the Gemara asks, Eini, is that so? It only becomes down to a shogeg? Tshuva is a great thing, as Avedis can become like mitzvahs. If a Rasha turns back from his wickedness, but also mishpat tzedakah, and he does justice in tzedakah, alehem choye yichyeh, who yichyeh is actually how it says in the pasuk, then for them he will live. So we see, in other words, for them, alehem, for the very things that he did wrong, because of them, now Hashem says he's going to live. So his avedis get transformed into mitzvahs. The answer is, like kasha, kan me'ava, kan me'yira. Depends whether it's tshuva me'ava or tshuva me'yira. And you have what the Alter Rebbe explains in Perek Zayin of Tanya, the reason why, how can Averis be transformed into mitzvahs, is because when he does Shuvah Me'ava, that he realizes because of his Averis, he's so tremendously distant from Hashem, and now he feels such a yearning to come close to Hashem, so it's like the Averis itself was the springboard from which he came to doing such a high level of Shuvah, therefore it gets transformed into a mitzvah. Tshuva is a tremendous thing. It lengthens a person's life. When the Rasha does tshuva, he will live, implying that until now he wasn't going to live so long, and now he's going to live longer. It means v'gashmius, of course. It also means v'ruchnius, that until now he was reshoim b'chayim kriyim mesim, and now he's on a different level. They say in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, in the name of Rav Bamari, come see that the way Hashem does things is not the way a human being does things. If one person angers and provokes the other person, even if it was only verbally, afterwards, when he goes to ask Mechila, it's not so certain that he's going to be appeased and be willing to forgive him, which tomorrow, Best Hashem, we'll talk about the halachas of asking Mechila. We talked about that in the Sunday morning shir, so we'll get into it in the Gemara as well. The im tomer mispayes hemenu, and even if he is willing to be appeased, it might be that words are going to be enough. It might be that words are not going to be enough. For example, a person stole from somebody else, he's actually going to have to pay. But when it comes to Hashem, a person does an aveda in secret, then Hashem is willing to accept words and be appeased by that and forgive him. Now, why are we mentioning gapke baseser? One possibility is it means that one possibility is it means even baseser. The Gemara tells us in Bava Kama, for example, that when a person does an aveda in secret, it's in a way worse than doing it in public. Because when he does it in public, he's showing he's not afraid of anybody, not of Hashem and not of people. Whereas when he does it in secret, then he shows he's afraid of other people and then what they're going to think of him, but he's not afraid of Hashem. So even he did the aveda baseser, nevertheless Hashem is still willing to accept shuvah from him. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Churi machem dvarim b'shuvu al Hashem." Take with you words and return to Hashem. So we see that words is enough. V'loy oid elash machzik loy tova. Not only that, Hashem feels like he owes the person a favor for doing tshuva. Shenema v'kach tov, as the pasuk continues, and take goodness. So like Hashem, so to speak, takes the tshuva and considers it a good and a favor that the person did for him. Not only that, the pasuk considers him as great as if he brought a korban of bulls, which are a very expensive kind of animal. As that same pasuk continues, we will repay with our lips for the bulls. So the lips, the fact that a person does tshuva with his lips, Hashem considers it like the equivalent of a korban of bulls. Shema tova. So you're going to say, okay, that's not so great. It means that the person has to bring a bull when he's chai of a korban. So that's not such a great thing. No, chamad loyma. Therefore, the pasuk finishes off. Erpa meshuvasim oyavim nidava. The next pasuk continues. Hashem says, I will heal their backsliding and I will love them like a nidava. Because when a person brings a nidava, then Hashem appreciates it more than if he's obligated to bring it. This is the point that the author makes over there in Tanya and he gives a sugar. About when a person does, when a person fasts, for example, to, after they did Averas, where the idea is it's not so much for kapara of the Avera, it's more like the oila that a person brings after they were oibran and eser, in order to be merutz of a chaviv, in order to be accepted and beloved by Hashem as much as before he did the Avera. So in that case, the person is fasting as an adava, and here we have the same kind of thing that shuva itself is considered like a korban adava. Tanya continues the Gemara. We learn in a Braisa. Shuva is a tremendous thing. Because of one individual who does Shuva, Hashem can forgive the whole world. Hashem says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them as a voluntary thing. Because my anger is turned away from him in Loshen Yochid. Doesn't say from them, Elami menu, but from him. So therefore Hashem is saying, because of one person who did tshuva and my anger was taken away from him, therefore that has a positive effect on the whole world. Marsha connects this with the famous Gemara in Kiddushin, and Rambam on it, the Rebbe used to quote constantly, that a person should always consider the world and himself, the world at large, and himself particular, as exactly half and half, and therefore a person does one mitzvah, then he's machriya himself and the whole world, lakatzchus. So that fits with our Gemara over here, because one person did tshuva, therefore it has a positive effect on the whole world. The Gemara says, Heichi dami bal tshuva. What does it mean to be a bal tshuva? If you have an Avera that previously he did, and now he's in the same situation once or twice, and he was saved from it, then that shows that he did real tshuva. Machvi Rabbi Yehuda signaled and like pointed to somebody, in his time. For example, it means ba'oise isha, ba'oise perek, ba'oise makim. Means, for example, the same woman, let's say it was a matter of arayas, the same circumstances, or the perek means like the same period in his life, so not like when he's an old man and doesn't have the strength to do it anymore. That ba'oise makim in the same place, and still he holds and the Yetzirah tells him, you know what, you already did it once under these same circumstances, do it again, and he holds himself back. That is considered real complete tshuva. In Rabbi Yehuda's times, actually, there was somebody who was like that. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos about a Reish Galusa in those times who originally he had a tremendous taiva for a certain woman who was married, and then one time she needed to borrow money from him, and he held himself back and didn't do anything, even though as Reish Galusa, the governor of all the Jews in Babel, he could have done whatever he wanted and gotten away with it. So and from then on, it says a light from Shemayim shone above his head. So when Rabbi Yehuda is pointing now to an example of somebody, it might be that he's pointing to him or to somebody else who was like that. It was nichshol in such an aveda, and now in the same circumstances held back from it. Now, that doesn't mean, by the way, that that's the only way of doing tshuva. The Rambam writes, I mean, even a person does tshuva right before he passes away, it's still Hashem accepts it. The point is, in other words, like the ultimate level of tshuva is what we're describing over here. Like, he's not failing to do the aveda because he's too weak or because it's not available or whatever. He's doing it. It's fully available, and yet he holds himself back because he knows Hashem doesn't want him to do it. doesn't also doesn't mean, by the way, that according to many Mephoshim, that he should actually put himself in that situation again. That would be a very dangerous thing to do. But in other words, that even if he perceives that, if we can say about him that he can perceive on himself that if he had been in the same situation, he still wouldn't do it, then we're saying that's real truva. Okay. Amar of Yehuda, Rav Rami. Rav pointed out a contradiction between Pesachim. Steve Ashrei Nesuri Peshek Suri Chata. One pasuk is happy as the person whose averus are lifted away, whose averus whose chatoim are hidden. So we see, in other words, it's a good thing for the averus to be hidden. Ochtiv Mechasa Pshav Lo Yatzliach. On the other hand, the pasuk says in Mishlei, a person who covers up his sin will not be successful. So what is it? Should the person cover them up and not speak of them publicly or not? And the answer is like Kasha, Kan b'chet mefursam, ho b'chet mefursam, ho b'chet sheni mefursam. It depends whether the Avera is well known or not. If it's well known, then better let him admit it in public rather than denying it, and that will be part of his tshuva process. As opposed to when it's not that well known, then he shouldn't reveal it, because then just the opposite. It's covered for Hashem to not reveal it, because after all, when a person does an Avera in public, now it's true, we said before, when a person does an Avera in private, in a way it's more serious because it shows he has less respect for Hashem. On the other hand, when a person does an Avera in public, then it shows that he has even, in a way it shows even less respect for Hashem, because it shows like he doesn't mind doing such a thing publicly in full view of everybody. So now, if he goes and admits the Avera in public, where before it wasn't known publicly, then that creates, then that reduces the honor of Hashem. People learn from that. In other words, hey, you know, a person did such a thing, then now it gives them the idea, maybe we should try it also. Rav Zutra bat Tovya Omer Rav Nachman, kan ba'aveira shem anon lachaveira, kan ba'aveira shem anon lamachim. It depends also whether it was an aveira ben anon lachaveira, then he needs to tell it in rabbim, because the rabbim will help him ask the other guy for mechila. As opposed to if it was ben anon lamachim, then he should keep it quiet. The Rambam actually brings only the second one, only the distinction between ben anon lamachim ben anon lachaveira. The Ravid points out you also have the distinction between whether it's well known or not. So it depends whether the person is going. One thing it says in Shulchan Aruch is so a relevance of that then is when a person is saying vidui, for example, on Yom Kippur. So based on this, there are certain avedas that he shouldn't be misvada publicly. On the other hand, for example, the ones that are listed in Al Chet, that's not an issue because that's a standard nusach that everybody says, so there's no problem saying that louder. Okay. Tanya, Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda Omer. Adam over Avera, if a person did an Avera, Pam Rishona Moichlan Mai, the first time he did it, Hashem will forgive him. Shnia Moichlan Mai, the second time also, Shlishis Moichlan Mai, Revius in Moichlan Mai. But the fourth time, Hashem is not going to forgive him that fast. The fact that he did it so many times means that Hashem is not going to forgive him so fast for it. Shenema, Koyama Hashem, Al Shlosha Pishi Yisrael, Hashem says, because of the three Avedas of the Jewish people, for the fourth one, I will not return him. In other words, the fourth one already Hashem is going to take more seriously. There's different understandings over here. Are we talking about the first three or four Avedas that a person does in his lifetime? Do we mean the first three or four times that he did the very same Aveda? There's also a relevant Gemara for this in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara tells us, Mavi Rishin, like we say in Tachanun, that Hashem takes away the first Aveda first. In other words, like Hashem, if the Hashem takes off the first Avera and doesn't count it, because the person is not yet used to doing Averas, and therefore Hashem is willing to set that aside. And the same way a second, and the same way the third, only when it comes to the fourth one, we're saying then Hashem starts counting from there. And then sometimes, also the Gemara says, but there are sometimes the first three will be restored to the scale also, if the person ends up having more Averas than mitzvahs. But the point is that the first three, there's more of an ability for Mechila than the fourth time. V'nema, and another pasuk says, Hein kol eila, yifal keil, pamayim sholoshim gover. These are the things that Hashem will do two or three times with a person. So we see also up to two or three times, up to three times, that Hashem is willing to forgive and give the person a break, but not after that. So the Gemara says, Mai va'oimer, why do we need two psukim to teach us the same thing? So the reason is, v'chitema hani mili b'tzibur, because if you only have the first pasuk, it's talking about shlosha pishe Yisrael, so it means the Jewish people collectively, Hashem is willing to overlook the first three averes. Maybe it's different with a yachid. No, Tashma, Hein Kolili, Yifalke, Pamayim Shalashim Gover. And, Matan Ve'elach, Ein Moichlan Loi, after that he's not going to be forgiven, unless he does Shuvah, Shenema, Al Shalashim Pishi Yisrael, Ala Bala, Ashidem. So one posit teaches us that that's true of the Tzibur, and another posit teaches us that that's also true of a yachid. The Rambam and a couple of other Rishonim have a different gusa over here, Now, the Gemara does end up maintaining the difference between a Yochid and a Tzibur. That by a Yochid, we say the first two, Hashem doesn't count, and Hashem takes them off the scale, and they don't count unless it turns out that the person has more Avedis than Mitzvahs. As opposed to, with the Tzibur, it's 3 versus 4, as we're saying in the Gemara over here. So according to their Girsa, the Gemara ends up saying that, yes, there is a difference between a Yochid and a Tzibur in that regard. To be continued tomorrow, Beth Hashem. Shabbat, everyone.